As you probably heard or read, a couple of days ago, AWS US East 1 region went down, and with it, huge chunks of the internet, of the websites, web services, automations, and all the stuff we all rely on day to day. A lot of popular websites went down, a lot of apps or even games stopped working because they needed an internet connection, because they needed to fetch data from remote servers or store data there. And all that happened because this one region, and AWS has many regions, but because this one region, which is one of their most important regions, to be fair, went down due to a DNS resolution error, which, as it seems, occurred because of some update for DynamoDB, which is a database service offered by AWS, which had an unintended side effect. Now, there are a couple of interesting things about this outage, but in this episode, I don't primarily want to talk about the outage. Instead, I want to talk about what that means for you and me, and why I think that we as developers and as a tech industry as a whole sometimes might be going for unnecessary complex solutions or might be fine with relying on some key service providers in situations when we shouldn't. But let's take a step back. This incident, as mentioned, happened due to a DNS resolution problem after an update to the DynamoDB service. Now, each AWS region is technically not just one data center, but in most cases, it's multiple data centers. And each data center, or even multiple data centers together, then form so-called availability zones, and each region consists of multiple availability zones. So, multiple data centers in multiple availability zones that make up a region. And the idea behind this approach is that if one data center were to go down because electricity is gone because of some other problem there, the availability zone maybe even stays online if it consists of multiple data centers, but the region definitely should stay online because, again, a region consists of multiple data centers. And yet, here we go. In this incident, the whole region went down. Why did this happen? Because the system that was ultimately affected by this problem was the regional control plane, which in the end was responsible for connecting all these availability zones, for forming the overall region from these availability zones, so to say. So that's why the entire region went down. It was not a problem with one of the availability zones, it was a problem with the control plane for the overall region. So that is probably an interesting learning for AWS. They will, I guess, do something or try to do something there and try to improve fault tolerance so that in the future incidents like this can't happen again. Because obviously, that is a huge, huge problem for AWS. Millions of dollars were burned during that outage, which took multiple hours. And it's, of course, not great for the brand AWS when companies decide which cloud provider to use. Incidents like this are a strong reason to not use it. Now, obviously, AWS is so popular, so big, they will survive this incident, but still, they will probably want to learn from it and make it very clear that this exact problem can't occur again. That is what I would guess. But I think there is an interesting learning here for you, for me, so for individual developers maybe, but also, of course, for companies that are using the cloud. Because over the last 15 years or so, the internet has become dependent on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud, on these big cloud providers, because, of course, they offer convenience. And just to make that very clear, I have absolutely nothing against AWS and Azure and so on. I believe they provide very valuable services, and being able to quickly spin up servers or to run some code without managing a server with services like Lambda, or to quickly spin up a database server, or to set up workflows that should run automatically, to be able to do all that and pay just for the usage and therefore run all these things at very affordable prices often, that is just amazing. Especially if you're a startup, you don't want to invest in your own data center, of course. Even as a big company, you might not want to do that. And the cloud offers you flexibility, scalability, and, well, the cost thing is difficult. But from my own experience, I can say if you're getting started, you're typically fine with maybe paying a bit more per hour of running a server compared to having that upfront investment of spinning up your own data center. Well, that's impossible anyways, or of buying or renting an entire server, an entire machine in existing data centers. Because of course, that's an option too. You don't have to build your own data center. You can just go to existing data centers and rent a whole machine there, or store your own machine there and have them manage it. But of course, that is more expensive and requires more commitment. So the cloud is very appealing for a lot of reasons. And yet, you don't necessarily need to use AWS and Azure and so on. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Now, just to make things clear, there is a difference between using all these cloud services offered by AWS, like Lambda for running code on demand, DynamoDB, which is the database that in the end through that update caused that incident, for data storage, and all these other things. You can do that. And AWS clearly wants you to use many of their services to build an application, not as a monolith, as a simple, let's say, Node Express application you run on a server, but instead they want you to break your application apart into individual functions that can be executed with Lambda when you need that, and so on. Now, I'm not saying there aren't use cases where this makes a lot of sense, and especially for bigger companies, there might be more such use cases and it might be more cost effective. But if you're a small developer, if you're maybe an indie hacker, if you're building your own side projects, side hustles, or even if you're a small company, very often you're, in my opinion, just better off using a VPS, just renting some compute, compute power, for example, through AWS EC2 service and running your application there, because that's just a server, a virtual server, of course, on a real machine that you can access through the terminal, through SSH, for example, to then install software on it, start your Node server on it, do all that fun stuff, then wire up a domain to it, and you're good to go. Obviously, that means that you're responsible for keeping that server updated, for installing security updates, and for managing the software there in general. That is the thing you have to do. That's the convenience you get when using more managed services offered by AWS. But on the other hand, you have full control and you're often paying less. Again, always depending on usage and your exact use case, of course. Now, if you do that, though, your website web service would have still gone down on that day on October 20th, because all services in that region in US East 1 were affected. So if you had your own rented VPS there, your own virtual server using EC2, it was still offline. So that is not something that would have prevented this. That's just a more general note on how to use the cloud, maybe depending on your size and use cases. But if you keep that thought that maybe using your own server, renting your own server, your own virtual server, your own compute is a good idea, you can start looking for other providers than AWS. And don't get me wrong, every provider can go offline. That is not exclusive to AWS. It's just their scale that makes it very obvious that bad things happen if they do. But every provider can go offline. But of course, one thing you could do, again, depending on your use case and size, you could easily rent a VPS from different providers. You could be using EC2. You could also be using Hetzner, which is a very affordable, smaller cloud provider. You can use Azure, Google Cloud, and so on. And you could have two such servers or multiple such servers and have some backup servers, which you can quickly route your traffic to if things go south. And that might be a good backup strategy to have more resilience, more fault tolerance. But that aside, in general, I think it's far too obvious for many people to just reach for AWS or one of the big cloud providers if they want to run workloads in the cloud. And I don't think that is something that necessarily makes sense. Personally, I'm using Hetzner, like many people on X, all the indie hackers, I feel like, simply because they're very affordable. They don't offer all the services AWS offers. Indeed, they only offer a small fraction of that, though they're adding more and more. But still, you can't do everything you can do with AWS there, but you can rent a server, SSH into it, install your software, run your applications or workflows, and just pay for the uptime of that server. So if you take the server down, you're not paying for it. You can change that all the time. You can scale up, down, you can rent more servers with ease. So that's all there. It's essentially like EC2, but it's not much more than that. So if you need other things, that might not be there. If you need a Lambda-like service, that's not there right now, at least. Of course, there also are other providers like Cloudflare, which with their workers do offer you a Lambda-like experience, and which also offer many other services related to databases or queues and so on. So being open-minded there and not immediately reaching for the big providers can make sense, can save you money because AWS is definitely not the cheapest one. And since these other providers are cheaper, and since you might not need that complex setup where you're using services only provided by AWS, you may be able to set up a more resilient backup strategy because you can have these backup servers running on other providers and quickly switch to them. Again, I'm fully aware that things will look very different if you're a super large company, an enterprise, if you have very special use cases. And I'm definitely not saying that you should not use AWS. I have all their certifications. I like AWS. I'm just saying it should not be the default choice for everyone as it seemed to be. And I think that's one thing we can learn from that incident, even though I'll say that again too, incidents like this can happen with every provider. Now, these are just my two cents. As always, let me know what you think of that.